The cost of a typical basket of groceries in our state has risen about 23% since last year, from around $46 to nearly $57, according to the latest survey by the Arizona Farm Bureau Federation. At the same time, a new report from Apartments.com and CoStar Group found that rent in Phoenix has increased by nearly 7%, the largest increase in the country. But as these costs increase, are wages keeping up? I sat down with Jason Matthews with the Corporation for Supportive Housing to find out.
They do not. And so while there has been some modest growth in wages, those wages are certainly not keeping up with those incredible increases in food and rent, and you could even say electricity and all those different things.
Right. What about the minimum wage increase? We saw the final part of that kick in just a few weeks ago at the beginning of the year. Is any of this going to make a difference?
Yes, it will. It's great that we do have this increase in the minimum wage going up to $12 an hour beginning this month in January 2020. And, you know, that's important, and we do not want to discount that. And at the same time, it's just not enough. I mean, when you know, just do some very quick calculations in the back of a napkin, for a full-time job at that minimum wage is still under $25,000 a year for an individual. And if you take an average rent of just $1,000, and in some places it's well north of $1,000, you're looking at your total cost just going to housing in that like 40% range. Mm-hmm. That's just a lot of money just going to just one particular expense. Then you just add on food, then you add in transportation, then you add on all the everything else, and it's just not enough.
So the jobless rate continues to tick down, right? Like, we're seeing that be pretty low in the state. Are we talking about then underemployment, essentially?
Yeah, it's a combination of, you have a little bit of the underemployment, a little bit of some macro effects of how a lot of companies have, especially after... And it's interesting still talking about the Great Recession, even though that was technically like 10 years ago.
Yeah.
But a lot of companies, when they right-sized to the best efficient number of jobs, a number of salaries to those jobs after the Great Recession, what we saw is that a lot of jobs were either downsized, released, shift overseas. You hear a lot of these things in like trade wars and a lot of these other kind of big macro kind of trends.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just, unfortunately, you see the automation of a lot of jobs and you see the shifting of a lot of jobs. Plus, you also see a lot of different industries that reclassified their full-time employer into, instead of like a 40-hour per week, it was more like 32 hours, but it's still considered full time.
Mm-hmm.
But at something like 32 hours a week, you don't necessarily have to pay full benefits on those. And then unfortunately, then those individuals maybe have to go to, you know, the ER, or they don't have health care benefits or those other kind of things.
Yeah.
So it's a little bit of a shifting definition of what is considered full time or what is considered a full employment.
So where does this leave people? People who are, you know, right at that poverty line or even below?
It just continues to put them into a really hard spot. And very specifically, these are individuals that have been for not only for the last 10 years, probably even beyond that, that are working not only those hourly jobs, but multiple hourly jobs. So you unfortunately create a lot of individuals that are still doing everything they can, but now you're increasing those levels of stress, increasing those levels of anxiety. It's just working so hard. And I just remember this one individual who said, "I work so hard just to stand still." And in those kinds of spaces, like when you just feel like you're doing everything right, but you're still not doing the best for your family, not doing the best for your individual, it's just very frustrating. And so we do need to have a conversation around, you know, what's the right level, you know, of that hourly growth. I know in some cities have talked about livable wage ordinances. In some places, like $15 an hour. You're starting to hear that a little bit during like the presidential campaign and some of these national kind of trends.
Mm-hmm.
You also have to start looking about, you know, something like housing subsidies or other opportunities to lower people's monthly costs.
Are there efforts underway in Arizona to get anything like that going, especially as we see the start of the new legislative session?
You know, we still have a lot of work to do in Arizona. There is a lot of advocates that are working and pushing for some of those kind of efforts, especially around housing. We're not there yet. We still need to continue to press and to educate our local legislatures, letting them know like the importance of something like, say, housing vouchers. Mm-hmm. And, you know, unfortunately, there's just not enough housing vouchers and not enough subsidized rent for those individuals that maybe at the minimum wage or below that minimum wage, or those have disabilities or other kinds of issues. But it is definitely an opportunity for all of us to continue to bring up these issues with our legislatures around, you know, not only the what is good housing, but also like what kind of work environment do we want for our families? And again, there's a lot of folks that are making it, quote unquote, but they're working maybe two or three jobs and riding the bus everywhere. While that's okay temporarily, but, you know, doing that and being a full-time mom and, you know, trying to share a meal around a table, it just adds up.
All right. That is Jason Matthews, Senior Program Manager with the Corporation for Supportive Housing. Jason, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you.